Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. When Art Basel first came to Miami Beach, phones were not smart, Latin American economies were just beginning to pull themselves out of economic crises, and South Florida's creative reputation, at least for most people, was probably limited to pastels on a canceled network television show or supermodels on the beach. So now, 14 years later, Art Basel Miami Beach has cemented itself as one of the premier art fairs for modern and contemporary art in the world. What began as Basel has led to several days of art fairs across the region, from the beach to Broward County and back. It certainly didn't create the artistic community here in South Florida, but Art Basel has provided an international spotlight for visual art, a growing audience of patrons and artists, and perhaps most importantly, business. The show opens with its invitation-only viewing on Wednesday. The fair opens for the public beginning on Thursday at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Now, sure, Art Basel Miami Beach can help fill up hotels and restaurants around Basel proper at the convention center and the satellite art fairs. Yes, the fairs create plenty of traffic jams, and much of the art is targeted at the well-heeled international jet-set buyer. But there's no doubt the art fair, like a Super Bowl, brings with it an economic ripple effect way beyond those bearing the VIP passes or forking over almost $50 for a daily ticket, $100 for all 3 days. Real estate, cars, fashion, interior design, banking, finance, museums and murals, art, architecture, attitude. It's the South Florida lifestyle. All hope to borrow some of that shine that is Art Basel Miami Beach. As an event, it directly reaches about the same number of people who pack a sold-out Sun Life Stadium for a Dolphins game. But this being Miami Beach and modern art, it's an irresistible media story, the glitz and the glamour, the indulgence and extravagance. But beyond the hype, it's a business. And business has been good for art and for Art Basel, Miami Beach. That means it's been good for Mark Spiegler and Noah Horowitz. Horowitz is the point guy this year for Art Basel Miami Beach. He's the Americas director for the Art Basel Group. Spiegler is his boss. He's the global director of Art Basel. We spoke with both of them about how Miami Beach fits into its portfolio of art fairs, art, and the global economy, and the coming renovations to its home on the beach, the Miami Beach Convention Center. But we start with how Art Basel's 14th show on Miami Beach is shaping up.
This year's show will be yet another strong addition. Again, we had virtually 100% of the galleries who were there last year applying, battling it out with a great group of new contenders coming into the show. So I think once again we can expect that this will be the best show in the Americas, both North and South America, and one that represents the strength of both continents in the best possible way. As always, we can expect that the museums around us, the museums, the private collections, and the public museums of the South Florida area will pull out all their stops and do the best shows of the year, so that for the people who are in the area or from the area, it's going to be a fantastic week on all fronts related to art.
Noah, what's fueling the continued record-breaking year after year of Art Basel Miami Beach?
Art Basel arrived in Miami in 2002 and really opened a gateway, for an august art fair to the American and Latin American markets in a way that hadn't been done before. I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 months since taking this job traveling around the region. I was in Bogota in early October, and just to see this huge support of collectors and curators in the artistic community from across this area, really seeing Miami as this focal point to meet everybody and come together is an enormous part of that. And I think, that's unique really within the art fair infrastructure. And, as a result, it's really led the fair over the last 14 years to grow from strength to strength.
And how about the role that Miami Beach has played in this 2015 growth that you anticipate? No, I know it's your first fair as the director of the Americas for Art Basel, but as you've witnessed this from the outside and now from the inside over the past couple of months, what is your impression of Miami Beach as a host?
Well, I mean, it's a great city as a host. I mean, I think the success story behind Miami Beach is one of the revised structure of how our art market functions. It used to be principally based between New York and London or Paris, and Miami Beach has opened a gateway to a different consideration of how that comes together and how people buy and sell things, but also sell things. You have to bear in mind as well that Miami as a community has incredibly important group of collectors and institutions that were there really from the beginning and that gave breath to what we're able to achieve today. And so, our team has worked very closely together with that community over the last number of years to really make this fair exist and succeed. And I think, you know, one of the exciting things for 2015 is this, you know, re-strengthening in a sense of the museum and cultural community in Miami Beach. You know, the new directorship and several of the institutions, also either opening or undergoing a construction for new spaces that will open in the future, or et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a very bright future, and it's all come together as well and really grown with the fair itself over the last decade.
Mark, the broader community, art community in South Florida has exploded. You've got the Perez Art Museum, Miami PAM, the Institute of Contemporary Art breaking ground just weeks before the opening of Art Basel, the Wolfsonian, the Frost at FIU, Nova Southeastern, Wynwood Design District, Fat Village, the Palm Beach Arts and Entertainment District. Can you take credit for the spark of creativity and for the spark of economic activity from 2002?
I mean, I think a lot of people like to give our show credit for this, but I think the reality is that we came to a community where there was a lot of momentum coming in terms of the private collectors who were there. And obviously, I think the fact that once per year, the whole international art world comes to Miami Beach and to the South Florida area has really sparked a lot of interest, both locally and internationally, in what's going on there. So I wouldn't say that we can take credit. I certainly think we've been part of a really, really exciting cultural dynamic. And in fact, I know from the people who originated the show back in 2002 that one of the reasons why they were attracted to the area was they thought it was a place where they could have a real impact in a way that they couldn't have in a city which had a much bigger cultural scene already. And I think that was really one of the goals, was to be part of a cultural growth, evolution, renaissance.
You've been with Art Basel since 2008, kind of in the depths of the Great Recession. You've seen certainly the art market rebound, and we'll talk more about this fall art auction season that Art Basel Miami Beach is kind of capping off. But I want to ask you, Mark, to that point, you know, one of the criticisms that Art Basel Miami Beach has gotten over the last several years consistently is a lot of international interest, but not necessarily local artistic interest or local artistic availability. How do you answer that criticism?
I'm not sure what your question means. Are you talking about artists from the area? Are you talking about galleries from the area? I mean, certainly there's a lot of interest from collectors in the area. There's a real growth in the collector base there. I would also say, you know, for instance, we've worked very closely, for example, with Naomi Fisher for the last 3 years in setting up, you know, her own space, the Nova Bar, within the show. In addition to which, you know, you've had a regular group of galleries from the area, people like Sarah Gavlak or Michael John or Frederick Snitzer, who are present there. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, in Basel, which has, you know, it has an incredibly long cultural history, we only have 6 galleries from Basel in the fair. So it's not like it's not like a place like London where, you know, a tenth of the galleries in the fair would be from that city. You know, I think we've done a lot for the community, with the community, you know, but in the long run, you know, what I would say is there have been galleries, you know, Michael John is a very good example, who've grown up in the post-Miami Beach, Art Basel Miami Beach era, and who you see actively. I just saw them, for example, last week at Artissima in Turin. You know, Sarah Gavlak is a gallery from Palm Beach, who's also very active in Los Angeles. And I think you know, the galleries that develop a good momentum for themselves are present in our show.
I want to ask you about the latest incarnation of the Basel brand into Hong Kong. This began as an iteration in 2013. Yeah. While it's the newest Basel brand and it's, you know, half a world away from Miami Beach, do you sense this year, is there any influence being brought from this newest entry into the Basel brand, Hong Kong, into Miami Beach and what you're doing this year?
We bought Art HK in 2011 and we transformed it into an Art Basel show in 2013. But already in 2011, we were astounded to see the impact it had in terms of bringing Asian collectors already to the show. And that's only continued. The younger Asian collectors often will come to the Miami Beach show and combine it with a trip, let's say, to Los Angeles and New York. And what's interesting is that we have, for example, 3 galleries in the show this year that haven't done it before: Tokyo BTAP, White Space, and Beijing Art Now. And that's been consistently the case, you know, that we've had galleries who've come in. Tang Gallery did statements, for example, a couple years ago. And what's interesting is both in terms of the collectors and the galleries, but also in terms of the artists who are working not only with Asian galleries, but international galleries, the influence of Asia is actually, I have to say, surprisingly strong. I would have thought, given the fact that we're talking about, you know, a continent which lies 12 time zones away from Miami Beach, that it would have been much tougher to get to generate an Asian presence and an Asian synergy in Miami Beach. But it actually has gone very, very fast, as do all things related to Asia.
Is that working at all, Mark, the other way around, Miami Beach into Hong Kong as you grow out the show there?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had collector groups from Miami museums coming, and I have to say that now, for a long time, there was a difficulty in terms of getting people from America in general to come both to Hong Kong and to Basel, because the Basel show was in June and the Hong Kong show was in May. Last year, we moved the Hong Kong show from May to March, which means that people can do both. And, you know, in talking to collectors from all over America, but also from South Florida, there's a real interest in the Hong Kong show. I think it's starting to be one of those shows that if you're a member in good standing of the international art world, you have to see it with your own eyes.
That's Mark Spiegler, the global director of Art Basel, along with America's director, Noah Horowitz. Still to come, more of our conversation with the two, including making the three Basel art fairs across the globe unique to their continents and customers.
When you come to the Miami Beach show, you should know that you're in Miami Beach. It shouldn't feel like a copy-paste version of the show in Basel or show in Hong Kong, and it doesn't.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy, this week talking about Art Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. The annual Miami Beach gathering of art galleries, collectors, and artists from around the world gets underway Wednesday. Art Basel Miami Beach is in its 14th year. The first planned show was supposed to happen back in 2001. It was postponed in the weeks after 9/11. So it was the 2002 art fair that marked Art Basel's first expansion out of Europe. That first show featured one program with young artists and their works displayed in converted shipping containers. About 30,000 people visited that first Art Basel Miami Beach. For more than a decade, Basel, Switzerland in June and Miami Beach in December were the group's two international contemporary and modern art fairs. Then 2 years ago, it branched out again, this time to Hong Kong. 60,000 people showed up for that first Hong Kong show. The company now runs three shows on three continents. Here in South Florida, it joins lots of other companies, saying it captures the Latin American audience thanks to our geographic proximity. Back to our conversation now with Global Director at Art Basel, Mark Spiegler, and the Americas Director, Noah Horowitz, on this recent expansion into the Asian market. Is this signaling future growth?
Well, if you're asking about signaling future growth in terms of rolling out new fairs, I don't think that's the case. At the same time, you know, I think there's a certain homogeneity to our industry that perhaps we're intrinsically pushing back against. And we really want to create reasons for collectors, galleries, curators to come to our shows. And one inherent way of doing that is making each of the individual shows a bit more unique to the region in which they serve. So, you know, it's a bit of an unwritten rule, I suppose, that, you know, about half of the galleries in Miami Beach are from the Americas. We want it like that. I think there's nearly 30 galleries now from Latin America, quite a few or a significant amount more from all over the U.S., et cetera. So I think, you know, we're in an industry that's a very fast-paced industry now. There's a lot of events, and we want to make sure that all of our shows, where they occur, feel very singular and unique, you know, to the region which they serve. So that, you know, I think that that's, you know, one very direct way to answer that.
And along those lines, as you've gotten to know the Basel brand and its relationship in Miami Beach, where do you see that evolving to in the short term?
Well, I think it's all about quality, really. I mean, for me, coming into this role, I've attended the show regularly since its inception, originally as a PhD candidate, I suppose, and the last number of years as an art fair director based in New York. And I think, you know, there's a lot that we can do really just focusing on the absolute quality of the fair. I think, you know, one thing that really distinguishes Art Basel from everybody else is just the sheer number of really exceptional international galleries that are bringing their core gallery program. And then, you know, we have all these different sectors in Miami Beach. Now Survey is more historically focused. Nova Positions are a bit younger. And our real focus, to be perfectly frank, is just to continue focusing on doing the best job we can do, to continue to push the boundary of bringing in great galleries from all over the world, but in the region specifically. And I suppose a lot of my remit as Director Americas is to really be on the ground throughout the U.S., Canada, Central and South America, looking at what the interesting trends are, who interesting artists are, what other collectors or new museum developments are on the frontier that are happening, and making sure that that community in its broadest sense is coming to Miami Beach in December. At the same time, of course, is servicing the local community. So it's a little bit of everything.
Tom, maybe I could just add a little bit to Noah's question. I think although Noah has the job of Director Americas and Adeline has the job of Director Asia, and that their job is to have a very broad influence and impact and connectivity to their entire region, our focus with the shows is very much on the cities where they take place. And we deal very, very closely with the museums, with the collectors, and with the various aspects of the city. I mean, when you come to the Miami Beach show, you should know that you're in Miami Beach. It shouldn't feel like a copy-paste version of the show in Basel or show in Hong Kong, and it doesn't. I think the further, like when you're in the halls, you know, we obviously try to build to the highest level of quality and hold everyone to the same high standards. But as soon as you get out of the halls, you should really start to feel like you're in that city. And it's very important for us in each of the cities where the shows take place that you feel the particularity, the unique aspects. You know, in Miami Beach, we try to do a lot of things outside. We try to take advantage of the fact, for example, that we have a huge screen right next door at the New World Center. You know, we try to do things on the beach, for example. And I think these are things that you couldn't do in Hong Kong or in Basel.
Certainly the humidity levels can rival Hong Kong in the summertime, even in December in Miami Beach. And you long for maybe the dry air of a Basel in the summertime. Let me ask you, Mark, as you assure the place of each of those three, there are certainly economies of scale stretched across the globe. But I want you to go a little bit deeper, maybe, and how do you continue to assure there is maybe a different value proposition for these different shows? And what is that proposition for Miami Beach, and how's that changed?
I think the answer is that it is a show which is very much rooted in its region. You know, we studied very closely how the shows in Miami and Basel worked and why they were successful when we went to Hong Kong. And one of the realizations we had was that each of the shows should have 50% of its galleries at least coming from that region. So I think if you're looking for a wide range and diversity of great American galleries, of great Latin American galleries, then Miami Beach is a fantastic show to go to, in the same way that if you're looking for a broad range and depth of Asian galleries, Hong Kong would be a show to go to, and likewise Basel for Europe. And yet, the other half of that show is the best possible selection of international galleries showing the top end of their program. So, you know, on the one hand, all of the shows provide an incredible cross-section of what's going on in the art world now, but also what's going on in the last 11 decades. On the other, and yet, they each have a very specific aspect which is tied to the region in which they take place. All three shows show work starting from 1900 and going until now. The range of work that you find, which is different than you have in a lot of other shows. But basically, you can trace the trajectory of art history from, you know, the 1900s, you know Picasso, for example, to the youngest digital artist from all over the world. In all of our shows, you can do that. It's just that in the Miami Beach show, you'll have, you know, great examples of sort of concrete art from Latin America that you would find very few of in Hong Kong or in Basel, although you would find them.
Mark, is the business model for the three shows essentially identical?
Yes, the business model is identical.
How do the three shows compare in terms of operating expenses?
We don't reveal specific numbers, but I mean, what's interesting is that, for example, in some places, the rental you pay for a convention center is quite high, but your labor costs are quite low. And in other places, it's exactly the reverse. Somehow or other, the shows all end up costing more or less the same, but in totally different ways.
That was Mark Spiegler, the boss at Art Basel, along with Nora Horowitz, the guy that runs Point on the Miami Beach show. Still to come, Art Basel Miami Beach 2015 hits with a strong international art market amid slowing economies in Latin America and China.
It's much too early to say about Brazil, but I was just there. I was in Rio. I was actually in Rio on the day that the Brazilian bond went to a junk rating. And yet, all the collectors I talked to in Rio said they were coming to Miami Beach.
This is the Sunshine Economy, Art Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Like football, hurricanes, and tourists, art, high-end art, has a season. It begins in the fall in New York when the big auction houses, Sotheby's and Christie's primarily, sell hundreds of works. It's household names often like Picasso, Warhol, and Liechtenstein who grab attention. Over 10 days in November, more than $2 billion worth of art was auctioned off, according to calculations from Bloomberg this year. It was a record start to the art season, but below the total during the spring auction season that happened this past May. A Picasso went for $10.5 million, more than expected. Andy Warhol's Four Marilyns, depicting Marilyn Monroe, sold for $36 million. Actually, that was $2 million less than what a buyer paid for it just 2 years ago. The biggest price tag was $170.4 million. That was for a 1917 oil painting by Italian Amedeo Modigliani. In English, the painting is known as Reclining Nude. A former cab driver turned billionaire in China bought the work. It's only the 10th piece of art to command nine figures, over $100 million. Now, in the meantime, the Chinese economy has been slowing down, and the once strong economies in Latin America, especially Brazil, are barely growing, if at all. This is all part of the backdrop for Art Basel Miami Beach beginning this week. So we pick up our conversation with Global Director Mark Spiegler and America's Director Noah Horowitz.
Well, I mean, you know, look, it's really strong in many ways. I think, you know, the auctions that we're seeing in New York are, you know, people are a bit more selective. I think there's a lot of very aggressively priced work that's maybe hitting the low end of the estimates or is not selling. So that's impacting to some degree the overall sales that the auction houses are taking in. At the same time, the depth of material is significant. There's been a lot of activity. The day sales have done well, which means there's a lot of activity throughout the entirety of the market, which, you know, which is perhaps, you know, an even more nuanced way to look at the health of the market. So from what we gather right now heading into Miami, also based on the strength of the season outside of the auction landscape to date, you know, I think things are looking very good. You know, the other thing you have to bear in mind, and I think as Mark was discussing earlier, is our fair is a very international fair. So as financial markets move up and down throughout the world, as long as there are certain parts of the world in which things are broadly robust, our shows are able to deliver that audience, and things tend to come out in the wash. So, you know, that's one of the strengths of what we do in terms of the audience that we deliver to the exhibitors that are coming there to show their work. You know, the other slightly more nuanced thing that I'd say about that, which I think is a good proviso just to put out there, is Art Basel is not just about the commercial transactions that happen inside our halls. There are exhibitions that come out of things. There are meetings that take place. There's conversations that might transpire in a transaction 6 months or a year after the show. So, you know, our business model, so to speak, to answer or to sort of touch on your earlier question, is not just about you know, the transactional value that's occurring that week in Miami Beach. And it's a much broader thing that touches on a lot of aspects of our, you know, the sort of ecosystem of the art world in a broader sense.
Yeah. Tom, if I could just add one more thing about reading sort of the state of the market from the auctions. I mean, the auctions at their core are focused around perhaps a dozen artists, several dozen artists if you broaden it out. You know, all of the Basel shows have 3,000 to 4,000 artists who are present there, and you know, who are not present at auction at all. So while the auctions can reflect a state of the market for a certain group of artists, it certainly doesn't reflect the overall state of the market. That being said, if their auctions are strong before the fair, it tends to be a good sign for us.
I want to ask you, Mark, about Miami's role in the price setting for contemporary art especially, and to Noah's point in terms of the ripple effect, that it's not just about the 3 days in Miami Beach and the transactions that happen in those kind of 72 to 96 hours, but rather what can happen, you know, weeks and months down the line. What has Miami's role historically been now since Basel has been up and operating for a better part of a decade?
I mean, if you look at the role of any of the Basel shows, they are... I mean, it's not a moment where prices get set in the sense that you know, people decide what they're going to you know, what the price range is for an artist before they get there. But I think the role that it has is that all of these fairs create a moment of urgency for collectors. And so there's work that's sold before the fair because collectors want to buy it before anybody else sees it. There's work that's sold during the fair. There's work that's sold 2, 3, 4 months after the fair. So in a sense, if you want to measure a fair's impact on the market, you really have to look sort of 1 month before and 6 months afterwards, and then you get a sense. But I mean, I've seen cases like in 2009, for example, when everybody thought the market was really beaten down, and a lot of collectors came in thinking they were going to get 40% discounts, and the gallerists held a line. And so within the space of an hour and a half, suddenly it went from being what everyone perceived to be a buyer's market to one in which the gallerists were actually able to hold their position because they had brought great quality, and the collectors were willing, some collectors were willing to pay what something was actually worth. The other collectors realized that they weren't going to be able to get things for pennies on the dollar. So I think what the effect of the Basel show is it is one of the barometers, and in a way a much broader and deeper barometer than the auctions for what's going on. Because you have so many different galleries and so many different artists from all over the world who are present, and people can really do comparisons of what's available out there, you know, for their collection, for their price range. I mean, what's really interesting to me is, to use this 2009 example, I was talking to Steve Lazaridis, who's a gallerist who represents the graffiti artist Banksy, and he was saying that after the Basel show went so well in 2009, even he saw a jump in his market. And that's a totally different world. You know, we don't show anything related to that kind of work. And yet Basel as a barometer had shown that the market was robust enough that people felt comfortable buying again.
As you're entering into Basel, Miami Beach in 2015, the Brazilian economy is in a recession. The Chinese economy is slowing down. Have you seen any indications that is going to be imported into this show on the beach?
It's much too early to say about Brazil, but I was just there. I was in Rio. I was actually in Rio on the day that the Brazilian bond went to a junk rating. And yet, all the collectors I talked to in Rio said they were coming to Miami Beach. So, I mean, a lot of them have done what's called dollarizing their wealth. So basically, they already have moved their wealth into real estate, into bank accounts, into companies within the states. As far as the Chinese economy, I mean, you know, the Modigliani that was sold a couple days ago went to Shanghai, and I know from sources inside the auction house, there's been a lot of Chinese bidding, mainland Chinese bidding at the auctions. But also, for example, the Westbund Fair, which takes place in Shanghai in September, was also very strong for Western galleries. So, you know, the appetite doesn't seem to be much abated in China for the kind of work that we sell, which is to say the highest quality international artwork.
And I want to ask you about that artwork, Noah. What's the fastest growing part of that market?
Of which market?
Of the market that will be the broad market that will be on display in Art Basel, of all the different kinds of formats and materials. Where are you seeing the most interest on the part of collectors?
Well, I mean, I think there's been an interesting historical turn within the market recently, which is present in Miami Beach as well, where there was a moment maybe a decade ago where everything was about the next new thing and all this incredible hype, some of it justified, some of it not, about a younger generation of artists. And what we're seeing now, which is also evident in the museum landscape, is really a look backwards to rediscovering artists that maybe didn't get their due 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The survey sector in Miami Beach is a great example of that. We have 14 galleries that are bringing work that's all from before 2000. And I think that's a real highlight of our show. It's a moment within the show to really slow down, to learn about new artists or to see other parts of artists' practices that we're already familiar with. So I think that's a segment of the market that I think, you know, that all visitors to our show should be looking out for, as well as, of course, you know, this tremendous blue chip material from a lot of artists that many people already know about, as well as all these great young galleries that are in the show that are showing emerging artists and collectives from all over the world.
That's the guy in charge of Art Basel Miami Beach, Noah Horowitz, along with his boss, Mark Spiegler, the global director at Art Basel. Still to come, when Basel leaves, the renovation of its home on the beach begins.
In 2017, we have a completely new convention center with new entryways, with a floor-to-ceiling two-story glass lobby, a glass-walled lobby facing west, with a park across the street where there's now a parking lot. I mean, it's going to be a whole new world.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. Art Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. In 3 years' time, Art Basel Miami Beach effectively will have a new home without moving from the convention center. In 2018, after 3 years of construction, a $500 million renovation of the Miami Beach Convention Center and a new park are scheduled to be completed. Now, there have been several starts and stops in recent years for remaking the convention center. The original building dates back to 1957, a different time for sure for conventions, conferences, and events.
I am the king of the world!
Hold it.
I'm pretty!
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a mad man! Wait. I shook up the world!
This was the place, after all, in 1964, where Cassius Clay beat Sonny Liston, the boxer who would become Muhammad Ali, would become the world heavyweight champion at the Miami Beach Convention Center. 4 years later, it was the place where Richard Nixon would secure the Republican presidential nomination for the first time.
My fellow Americans, most important, we're going to win because our cause is right. We make history tonight, not for ourselves, but for the ages.
But the building has not aged so well. With the current pastels throughout the convention center, it should come as no surprise that its last major renovation was in the late 1980s. The tourism industry has been pining for big fixes to the center to attract major conventions and conferences and the thousands of people and millions of dollars they can bring. Big ballrooms, big broadband, communications connections, even parking. It's all been on the wish list for several years, and they are on the fix-it list now for the renovation that begins the day after Art Basel Miami Beach packs up this year's show. Art Basel will be back during the construction. It is not leaving the center, as it's been its home here in South Florida since the beginning. Again, Nora Horowitz, Art Basel's America's Director, and his boss, Mark Spiegler, Global Director for Art Basel.
I mean, we deal with three completely different convention centers. The one in Basel is two square levels superimposed upon each other, and then a giant 200,000 square foot hall for the unlimited sector. The one in Hong Kong is two relatively long halls on two different floors of a convention center. And the one in Miami, of course, is one giant hall that's all on the same level. So each of them has a completely different urbanism, and they're completely different buildings from different eras.
And that Miami Beach Convention Center is going to be updated to the 21st century era. Kind of construction begins on the renovation the moment you guys pack up and leave after the 2015 fair. What are you anticipating of the renovated convention center during construction over the next couple of years for Art Basel, but then after completion scheduled for 2018?
So, I mean, well, I guess I'll take it chronologically. Obviously, you know, for this year it has no impact because the construction doesn't start until the day after we close. For next year, and I have to say the city of Miami Beach has been extremely cooperative and helpful with us and collaborative with us. For next year, it has no impact on the floor plan itself. This is one of our concerns, that we would have to do a new floor plan for 16 and then a new floor plan for 17. So we're able to maintain the same floor plan for 16, even though the construction is going on. In 2017, we have a completely new convention center with new entryways, with a floor-to-ceiling, two-story glass lobby, a glass-walled lobby facing west, with a park across the street where there's now a parking lot. I mean, it's going to be a whole new world. We'll have terraces where people can do events up on the second level. You have parking directly in the building. So, you know, we're really looking forward to being in a state-of-the-art convention center. And, of course, there are a lot of little things, you know, like Wi-Fi, like electricity, and all those aspects, which the normal visitor doesn't see, but which will be streamlined and improved in ways which will be extremely helpful for us and for our galleries.
What's been the biggest challenge with the convention center over the past decade for the art fair?
I mean, I don't know. It's like a, you know, I'm so familiar with it that I just sort of take its challenges and benefits for granted. I mean, we've learned how to make it work. I think in a way, the biggest challenges have been when we've made mistakes in terms of layout and that kind of thing. But I mean, I think it's a convention center which works really well, in the sense that it's quite large. It has, you know, you can have multiple entryways, so you can configure it in different ways. You know, I think the big challenge for us is when we went from using two of the halls as exhibition space to using four of the halls as exhibition space. And learning how to redo that urbanism was a real challenge. And we had 1 year where the floor plan just didn't work at all. So in a sense, you know, it's a sort of self-imposed challenge. It's like this, you know, we've learned to work very well with it, but we will look forward to having the infrastructural stuff that really makes it, you know, the electricity, the Wi-Fi. You know, I think you know, maybe Wi-Fi has been the biggest issue for us, as it is for all fairs that we do and every other fair. You know, every single year, the pull, the load that goes over the Wi-Fi just grows exponentially. You know, more people, you know, first it was everybody taking stuff for Instagram, and then it's everybody putting videos on Instagram and on Snapchat and, you know, and doing FaceTime. And just it's almost impossible to build a Wi-Fi infrastructure which will support everything that everybody wants to do. So we've actually had to set it up so that our exhibitors at least have what they need.
That's a really interesting kind of a 21st century challenge with the continued ubiquity of smartphones and smart technology. Let me ask you about two features of the renovation that are not rooted necessarily in technology. And that's the green space that is going to be built out just in front of the main entrance of the convention center, just west of that. Traditionally, during Art Basel, that's taken over by a big tent, and there's a lot of activity in there. What's that new green space going to mean for you?
You mean the park, which is where the parking lot is now?
That's correct, yes.
I mean, to be honest with you, it's always hard to judge how you can use something until you actually see it. And I think what we all know about construction is a lot of things can change from now until then. And I think we're going to withhold judgment on what you can do with that space until it's actually there. But obviously, one can imagine that at the very least, it would be a fantastic place to do something like a performance right across the street from the convention center. But I think also just the possibility for people to walk outside as they do now into the botanical garden and take a breather, get some air, get some sun, think about what they saw, have a conversation, and then go back in to the show will be fantastic.
The last physical change of the convention center is a very pedestrian, very local issue, no doubt about it, and it relates to parking on top of the new renovated convention center. Is parking and transportation, is that a headache for you as you look to continue to build out the Basel brand in Miami Beach and it continues to get ever more popular?
I mean, I think in general, we all risk becoming victims of our own success. I mean, the more popular you are, the more visitors you have to deal with, the more places you have to find for them to park. And obviously, you know, we feel that the people working on the convention center are making their best effort to solve that problem. You know, within the constraints of physics, obviously, you know, it would be great to have, you know, an infinite amount of parking. But we feel, you know, the parking, I think the parking situation is being addressed very thoroughly. And there's been a lot of thought put into not just where people park, but how they get there and the angles of approach and trying to avoid too much traffic and congestion around the convention center.
Finally, Noah and Mark, as you look forward to Basel 2018 and beyond, what does the Basel Group want to see out of the greater Miami area to ensure its place as host for this December art fair?
Well, I mean, I think the simple answer is just broader engagement overall. As I mentioned in the outset, I think one of the things that we're really excited about is that there's really a new generation of leadership within the Miami museum community, you know, further engaging that community. There's more collectors that are coming to the fore. There's more interest in galleries as well. So all of these things, you know, are ripe for potential. And as I step into this role and as Basel grows and grows and grows in Miami Beach and the area broadly, you know, these are all things that are very high on our agenda and that we're very excited about to be able to contribute to that community, you know, during that show week and ideally beyond that as well.
How long, you know, is your contractual obligation to Miami Beach, and how long do you anticipate staying?
I really don't think our engagement has to do with the length of our contract, because we've done contracts, we've done many, many, many contracts in the past. I mean, we really believe in Miami Beach. We really have a great local administration. We have great local collectors we're working with. I mean, we really feel like we've built something up there that we couldn't build anywhere else. So, I mean, I think there's no consideration of moving somewhere else. You know, we're highly engaged in making it work there, and the people who are there are highly engaged in making it work for us. So, you know, there's no other location in the States that would give us such good access to Europe, to New York, to South America, and to the Midwest and the West Coast, which are so important for the fair to be successful. And with the growth of the museum, you know, this new generation of museum leaders and of museums, and also with the new convention center, we have every reason to think that we'll be there for the, you know, for the foreseeable future.
Mark Spiegler and Noah Horowitz with Art Basel. Still to come, like real estate and politics, the art of murals is local, even during Basel.
If I go over town, I wouldn't paint stuff that related to Little Haiti. If I go to Wynwood, I wouldn't paint stuff that related to Little Haiti. But if I'm in Little Haiti, I have to respect the people that's in the community.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. This year's Art Basel Contemporary Art Fair opens in a much different art environment in South Florida than it began. Millions of dollars in private money and taxpayer money has been spent on galleries and museums. But as Art Museum Miami turns two, the Institute of Contemporary Art is brand new and just broke ground for its new museum. Plus, private museums have opened housing the art of private collectors. Jane Wooldridge is the business editor and visual arts editor at our partner, the Miami Herald. Jane, welcome back to the Sunshine Economy.
Thanks so much. Always happy to be here.
How has Basel impacted the spending we've seen in the last decade or so on museums?
Well, I think there are two factors. On the public side, I think finally, after many years, that the public entities understand the value of visual arts and museums in the community, not only as a lifestyle element, but really as an economic driver. There was a time when one of my colleagues said, well, why does any of this matter? It's only for rich people. My answer has always been my introduction to the arts as a young person was at public museums. Mm-hmm. So I have a personal appreciation for it, but I think now the community and our government has a broader appreciation for what those dollars and that investment means to the community.
That's a long-term investment, no doubt about it. And some of these dollars have been backed by long-term bonds, backed by property taxes here in Miami-Dade County and other places in South Florida. So what is that investment goal of these public investments that have been made and perhaps really sparked in more attention because of Art Basel in the last decade?
Well, I think if you look at the trajectory of what's happened to this community economically since Art Basel began, many of the people who bought these multi-million dollar condos were not familiar with Miami and came, thought we were a backwater, had, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of Miami Vice hangover. They came here because of Art Basel, found that it's a really great place, bought places. So can we really quantify how many tax dollars, what kind of property taxes, what kind of investment comes in, how many more visitors come here, what businesses move here because of Miami's rising world profile?
Sure.
I don't think it's quantifiable, but clearly visual arts have played a really important role in our trajectory.
There's also been developing this so-called Miami model of museums, and this gets to the private collections that have been here, and some of these private collections are continuously seeing some push to open up publicly.
Well, all of these private collections that have museums, all of the Miami model museums, if you'll call them that, are open to the public. And part of the benefit of this, and there is an argument to be made, well, all of these should be public museums. But the reality is private individuals have put up their own money, mm-hmm. Opened these museums, and they are open to the public. So there's an enormous public benefit to these collections. One of the examples this year is Marty Margulies, developer, has brought really what is a remarkable, remarkable show of work by Anselm Kiefer this season. The Rubel family mm-hmm. collection has female artists. So one of the benefits is that we all get to see this art, but one of the effects of Basel is that if Art Basel weren't here, would the same collectors be bringing quite the same level of work? Well, maybe they would and maybe they wouldn't, but it certainly doesn't hurt that the entire world is here and it looks at these collections during this time.
And really questionable whether or not the community would have supported the public investments that have been made in art in the last decade, not only art museums, but public art that we see around the community.
Well, one of the things that's remarkable is that we have always had a great public art program here, but I think now people appreciate it differently. And so I think all of that works hand in hand.
Jane Wooldridge, the business editor and visual arts editor at our partner, the Miami Herald, wearing comfortable shoes for the next several days, I'm sure.
You better believe it. New sneakers for me.
Thanks, Jane. Art Basel certainly did not create the art scene here in South Florida, but it has provided a moment of focus on visual arts and helped coalesce attention across the region onto creative communities that work to attract artists. Really, we don't need to look any further than Miami's own Wynwood neighborhood. It's long been known for street art, graffiti, and wall murals. Basel has continued and contributed to the recognition of those works. As it often does, this week, muralists from South Florida and all over the world are painting on the streets of Wynwood and other nearby neighborhoods, including Little Haiti. The urban environment of concrete block walls presents an inviting canvas for expression. But for Little Haiti painter Serge Toussaint, those same walls are opportunities for commerce, mixing art with advertising. Here's WLRN's Maria Muriel.
Driving through Little Haiti, especially along main roads like 62nd and 54th Streets, you can see Serge Toussaint's murals, but you may not even know it. His art blends into the neighborhood. It's part of the neighborhood in ways that more famous murals in neighboring Wynwood are not. Business owners in Little Haiti call Serge when they want their walls to attract customers. Marie Jefferson had him do voodoo saints for her botanica.
When you have business, I would say it's ugly. People don't like to come to see what you have in your place. But when people see, he come to see, he buy something, maybe $2 or $3. Yeah.
So it's good for business to have a nice wall.
Yes.
It's art, partly in the aim of advertisement. And artist Serge says his murals cut through limited language and literacy.
I paint the soda bottles, the Pepsi Surge, the Coke bottles, the cigarettes. You know, that just, you don't need to know how to read. You already know it's a store.
Decorate and advertise is what Serge's murals do. But in his view, they also maintain the heritage of Little Haiti's people.
Like, if I go over town, I wouldn't paint stuff that related to Little Haiti. If I go to Wynwood, I wouldn't paint stuff that related to Little Haiti. But if I'm in Little Haiti, I have to respect the people that's in the community.
I caught up with Serge while he was working on Northwest 54th Street, drawing the outlines of five Haitian forefathers on a building his friend owns. It's a piece about Haitian roots for a future store selling Haitian-inspired clothing.
That's going to be an awesome mural, man. It's going to be one of my best pieces.
He's passionate about his work and takes offense when contemporary street art, like the styles in Wynwood, wash over his Little Haiti art.
What I don't like is you take my work down and have somebody else put something on there that can't even come close to what I did, and that's disrespectful.
That's because you feel like your work has the mission of representing Little Haiti.
I feel like my work has a mission to represent that particular community.
He's specifically upset about a piece he did on the corner of Northeast 62nd Street and 2nd Avenue for last year's Art Basel, which is now painted over, as it happens to murals. The forefathers' mural he's working on now, though, is larger than Basel for him.
Even if I'm not finishing my Art Basel, I'm not doing just because this mural because of Art Basel. I'm doing this to make a statement. So this is something that's going to stay there for years to come.
If it does, this mural might share a street with internationally renowned painters who flock to Miami for Basel and whose work is typically considered art, not advertising. For the Sunshine Economy, I'm Maria Muriel.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Wanda Miles is our technical director for the Sunshine Economy. Thanks for listening.